Personally, not only from afar, closely, I've been blessed, inspired, really, truly inspired by what you do and what you represent to the body of Christ. We've seen the hand of God. We've seen grace, not only at work in its uniqueness. And tonight, we are here to receive of the Lord from you. And the house is yours. We're keeping a secret. You get to know later. But the house is yours, Apostle. We truly, truly honor you. Please, with a standing ovation. For he gave men as gift. Please help me celebrate. The Apostle Joshua Selma.
Hallelujah. Dunsin, thank you. Thank you so very much. Help me appreciate Dunsin. God bless you. God bless you. Thank you for the honor. Please, you may be seated. It's a joy. Let me speak to all our viewers. Can you gather your friends, family, and just converge and let's learn from the Lord. It's been an awesome moment since I stepped in here, the period of worship, and my goodness, you have to be here to understand what I'm saying. It's been an incredible time, and we thank you, Dunsin, for that investment and all that you have done. The Lord gave me an assignment for tonight, and it's a joy and an honor to just share from the word of God, the things that I believe that the Lord has placed in my heart for the hour. Habakkuk said, I will stand upon my watch. I will set myself upon the tower so that I will see what he will say unto me. It's important to bring a word in season. And tonight the Lord has quickened it in my spirit to teach on the glory. I want to teach on the glory. This is a dimension that not many believers truly understand. And we'll be connecting it to how the manifested presence of God is revealed in worship and what happens when God shows up. It's important to not only know that he can come, we need to know what comes when he comes. Hallelujah. So, Spirit of the Living God, we open up our hearts tonight. And we yield our minds to the influence of your person. Quicken us, grant us understanding. The Bible declares that the entrance of your word gives light and understanding unto the simple. We receive understanding tonight. In Jesus' marvelous name we pray. Somebody shout amen. Amen. Leviticus chapter 9, and we'll read verse 6. It's a very profound scripture. Leviticus chapter 9. It says, and Moses said, this is the thing which the Lord commanded that ye should do. And the glory of the Lord shall appear unto you. This is the thing which the Lord commanded that you should do. And the glory of the Lord shall appear unto you. Praise the name of the Lord. We talk a lot about the word glory. You know, people love meetings like this, encounter meetings where the presence of God is revealed. But not many people have taken the time to study the glory of God. So I'll try to juggle a few things within the time that I have. And let's trust God for understanding. Number one, the first thing I want to say is that there are three dimensions of God's presence. According to scripture, the first dimension of his presence is called his omnipresence, his ability to be everywhere at the same time. So the psalmist said, where can I hide from your presence? The deepest part of the earth, you are there. The highest of the heavens, you are there. God is everywhere. Omnipresence, that's the first dimension. The second dimension of his presence is revealed in scripture. He says, where two or three are gathered, I call it his Emmanuel dimension. When they are gathered in his name, he says he's there in our midst. It's a dimension of his presence. The third dimension of his presence, and that's our business for tonight, is called his Shekinah. His Shekinah means his manifested presence. That means he reveals himself in a way and manner that all things, animate and inanimate, recognize that he is there. Hallelujah. So it's important for us to know that these dimensions of his presence, they do not function at the same level. He's everywhere, but his manifested presence is not everywhere. Next is the word glory. The word glory is a very mysterious word. The Jews understood this so much. They had several encounters. They carried the presence of God and they protected it so jealously. The glory of God comes from the word kabod or kavod. That's the Greek expression. The Hebrew is kabod. The Greek is doxa. And there are similar expressions. In summary, they refer to, so it was an ancient word that was used to quantify the worth of a thing or a person. It was not necessarily a religious word. It was actually a word that attempts to show the wealth or the value of a thing by examining the distinctive qualities that makes that thing desirable or makes it expensive. So when you say the glory of, say, a precious metal like gold, you would have to weigh. That's why it's called the weightiness of anything. You see that now? So the glory of my phone will have to be in dissecting the distinctive features of this phone. What makes it expensive if it is? What makes it desirable? You understand? So in studying the glory of anything, you will have to fragment that thing into various sections and study whatever it is that makes that person or that thing desirable, worthy of worship. Are we together? So when we talk about the glory of God is an aggregate, is a compendium of all the dimensions of God that makes him worthy of worship, makes him worthy of praise, makes him worthy of our allegiance. So to really understand the glory of God, you are going to have to break those dimensions, his goodness, his wisdom. When Moses said, "Show me your glory," he said, "I will allow my goodness." You see, that's just an aspect of his glory. It's the most visible expression of his glory in scripture, his goodness. His mercy is an aspect of his glory. His kindness is an aspect of his glory. So when you talk about the glory of God, it's not just a generic word. You have to really dissect the various components of God if you are really able to. And then learn them one by one. And then it gives you the reason why he is deserving of worship. Do you understand that now? Very profound. Very profound. Now, a few things about the glory. Number one, the glory of God represents his manifested presence alongside the resources that comes with that presence. If you're writing, you may want to write that down. The glory of God, for our understanding, refers to the manifested presence of God alongside the blessings, the resources that come with that presence. And there are eight of them I'm going to be showing you. Number two, the glory of God is revealed to men in weights and measures. The glory of God is revealed to men. It comes upon men. It comes upon individuals, comes in meetings, in weights and measures. So here's how the Bible puts it. It says, "For our light affliction, which is but for a moment," it says, "it worketh in us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory." Weight of glory. So it comes in layers and it comes in levels. Number three, your dominion in this kingdom is predicated upon the weight, the dimension of the weight of glory that is active in your life. So although the same Lord is rich unto all, our possibilities differ, and it is according to the weight of the glory of God that we have been able to trap through our alignment, through our yieldedness. Is someone learning already? So you can have two believers born again, filled with the Holy Spirit, as we say, but their possibilities can be east and west. And the difference is not the love of God. The difference is not even preordination. It is that one, for some reason, through the sacrifice of alignment, has been able to trap a certain weight, a certain texture, a certain quality of the glory of God in his life or her life, be it a pastor, be it a businessman. Your assignment is to press into the things of God to be able to capture a dimension of the weight of the glory of God upon your life. Are we together? That causes you to be a blessing to all around you. So the glory of God comes in weights, and the glory of God comes in measures. Hallelujah. Now, there are generally five platforms, according to scripture, five platforms that can allow believers to experience the glory of God. I'll just run through them, then I'll pick worship, and then we'll take it from there. Number one is the prayer platform. The prayer platform is the first platform that allows believers to experience the glory of God. In Luke chapter 9, when you read 23 and 24, the Bible says, as he prayed, Jesus being, Jesus, he says the fashion of his countenance were altered. Luke 9:29, I believe. As he prayed, the fashion of his countenance were altered and his raiment became white and glistening. When you read the verses that follow, the Shekinah of God covered the disciples who were asleep, and they got up and said, what is going on here? You know, they were asleep, but the glory rested upon them. The prayer platform is one of the scripturally authorized platforms for accessing the glory of God. Number two, the word study platform. The word study platform. 2 Corinthians 3:18 says, as we behold him as in a mirror, he says we are changed, quickened, is the word anazao, is the word that is used for revival, quickened, revitalized. We are changed into the same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of God. Number three is the worship platform. And I'll be talking about that in a bit. In 2 Chronicles chapter 5, popular scripture 13 and 14. 2 Chronicles 5, 13 and 14. The Bible says, it came to pass as the trumpeters and singers were as one to make one sound to be heard in praising and thanking the Lord. And when they lifted up their voice with the trumpets and cymbals and instruments of music, to praise the Lord, saying, for he is good. You see the attributes of his glory now. And his mercy endures forever. The Bible says that the place was filled with a cloud because of the presence of the Lord. And the priest could no longer come and worship. Nothing else could happen there because the glory of God came and he could not stand to minister. Number four, the obedience platform. Obedience attracts and is able to trap the glory of God. In Exodus chapter 25, when you read verse 9 and read verse 40 for sake of time, this was the building of the tabernacle in the wilderness. And as Moses was about this project, the Lord continually beckoned on him. Ensure that you build according to the pattern of the things that were shown to you. He repeated this again in verse 40. Ensure that you build according to the pattern of the things that were shown to you. And when he did build according to the pattern, when you go to Exodus chapter 40, particularly verse 33, the Bible says Moses had made an end to the building. He finished the work according to pattern. What happened? Verse 34, the Bible says, then on account of his obedience, a cloud covered the tent of congregation, and the glory of the Lord filled the tabernacle. So the prayer platform, the word study platform, the worship platform, the obedience platform. The fifth and final platform is the sacrifice platform. The platform of sacrifice. In 2 Chronicles chapter 7, 1 to 3, very popular scripture. This was the dedication of the temple in Jerusalem under the leadership of Solomon. The Bible says, when Solomon had made an end of praying. Now remember that he had put the burnt offering. Everything was set before he lifted up his voice and began to pray. When Solomon had made an end of the praying, the Bible says the fire came down from heaven and consumed the burnt offering and the sacrifices, and the glory of the Lord filled the house. So say after me, the prayer platform. Number two, the word study platform. Number three, the worship platform. Number four, the obedience platform. And then number five, the sacrifice platform. Now let's zoom our study on worship. We want to see how worship is able to reveal the glory of God. There is a protocol for revealing the glory of God in worship. And I'll end my conversation with this. But for now, there are two elements in true worship. Number one is ministering unto God. And number two is receiving from God in worship. Please write that down. Every time you approach God in worship, you must have this at the back of your mind that there are two dimensions to that experience. One is ministering unto God. There is such a thing as ministering unto God. Psalm 103 verse 1 says, bless the Lord. Now, if you're not a student of scripture, that sounds very interesting. How do you bless the Lord? You see, it's the Hebrew word barak. It doesn't mean to speak like to prophesy. It means to stoop down, to kneel as though in worship. In reverence, the picture of Barak is seen in the woman with the alabaster box. The Bible says when she came, everything about her worshipped, her tears worshipped, her hair worshipped. You see, her wealth worshipped, every part of her. And while Jesus was seeing the message that her worship was bringing, the disciples were looking at how expensive that worship was. And they said, this is too expensive. And Jesus said, you are not discerning. This is a worshiper teaching you the art of worship. Barak, are we together? So he says, bless the Lord. Then he says, oh my soul. He now says, and all that is within me. That means everything within a man can bless the Lord. To minister unto the Lord. It was as they ministered unto the Lord that the Holy Ghost spoke to them. He says, separate me, Paul and Barnabas. You remember? Yeah. So men can worship unto the Lord. They can lift their hands like we just did right now. The character of ministering unto the Lord is that there are no requests. It's a heart of gratitude, surrender, and reverence. Every time requests come in, you are no longer ministering unto the Lord. And there's nothing wrong with that. Are we together? But most believers feel their moments of singing is just a preamble to now begin to drum at heaven. There are times that God is aware of your needs, but he just wants you to acknowledge his greatness. Is someone learning now? And the nation of Israel understood this. So they would sing songs like, you are good and your mercies endure forever. They were in trouble, yet they never spoke about their captivity. The more they extolled him, the more they lifted his name. It's a mighty secret. Every time you are confused and you are in trouble, the Bible says, I will call upon the Lord. Not I will talk to him about my trouble. Now, there's a dimension where you talk to the Lord about your trouble, but there is a dimension where you invoke his presence, because when his presence rests upon that situation, it must change. So your assignment is to get God to the scene. I will call upon the Lord who is deserving of my praise. He says, so shall I be saved. I will not be saved by looking at the problems. I will not be saved by talking to people. I will invoke the presence of God to tabernacle upon that problem. He says, so shall I be saved from my enemy. Someone lift your hands in 1 minute and just say, Lord, I bless you for who you are. I have needs, but I shelve them for a moment. Someone go ahead and pray. You are holy. Lord God Almighty, the earth is full of your glory. You are holy, Lord God Almighty. My life is full of your glory. One more time. You are holy, Lord God Almighty. The earth. I don't know any believer who invests time worshiping the Lord, forgetting your troubles, and just focusing on the beauty of his glory, and leaves that place without a response from heaven. You see that now? The glory of God was not supposed to be a pursuit. It was supposed to be a response. So when you forget about yourself, your pain and whatever it is, and you focus on the beauty of his holiness, his wisdom. Now let me tell you what happens. When you begin to worship God, to minister to him, the dimension he wants to see revealed in you is what he quickens in your spirit, and that becomes the focus of your worship. So there are times you begin to worship him and songs that talk about his wisdom or his majesty. You think you are just calling him, but that's the dimension he wants
wants to grow and quicken in you. Has that happened to someone? So you get to the place of worship, and while you're worshiping, all the songs that gravitate to your spirit are talking about a dimension of God. It then means that's the dimension he wants to quicken to begin to function in your life. Ministering unto God and then receiving from God in response. Let's talk about that very quickly. When we minister to God sufficiently, truthfully, non-pretentiously, by the nature and the character of God, he's a giver. And every time the saints begin to worship him, let me tell you what happens. He responds. That response is what we call his Shekinah, his glory. He responds. And when he responds, he makes his presence, his manifested presence, to be felt, to be known, and to be experienced in the midst of his people. Now, here comes the core of my teaching. Please listen very carefully. And this is a revelation Dusin God gave me that turned my life around. Turned my life. I have seen possibilities that have come. Victories where you did not need to fight because you understand the value of his glory. What happens when God shows up? Most people do not know that his showing up is not for nothing. So they say, wow, the presence of God. But the presence of God comes with treasures that if you do not know how to discern, you can leave the meeting excited, but you will not go with anything. There are two experiences that the glory of God comes with. Please listen. Every time the Shekinah of God is revealed in a place, like it is right now, there are two experiences that it brings. Number one, encounters. Number two, interventions. This is profound. When the glory of God is revealed in a life, in a business, in an atmosphere, he comes with two dimensions, two blessings. Number one, encounters. Please say encounters. Number two, say interventions. Now look up, please. The assignment of encounters is to cause you to conform to his image and his person in experience in a greater measure. So when we talk about the holiness of God, the beauty of God, the circumcision, realignment, we're talking about due order. That's the assignment of encounters. You see, encounters don't bring healings. Encounters don't bring breakthroughs. The assignment of encounters is to make you more like Christ. But healings, breakthroughs, deliverances are the responsibility of interventions. Now, please look up. When the glory of God shows up, it is within the power of the recipient to select one or more or all of this. So I can embrace the interventions that come with the glory and ignore the encounters. I will be healed. I will be delivered, but I will not become like Christ. Have you seen people like that? So they come to church and there's such a dramatic move of the spirit. They go back with the evidence of his hand, but they do not touch his heart. But there are others who become more like him. You see that they are furnished. There's alignment happening, but they never experience breakthroughs. The glory of God comes with two dimensions that we must receive: encounters and interventions. The circumcision that happens to you, the realignment, death to the flesh. You see, all of that is the business of an encounter. An encounter is an experience that furnishes the reality of a person or a thing to your spirit man. So when encounters are happening to you, a verse you always read that looked very ordinary is suddenly quickened in your spirit. A song you always sang, how you know is an encounter is sometimes the only part that edifies is just one line of the song. It can be a whole but one line, and you can sing the same line for hours and hours, and that song is a ladder in the spirit. There is an ascendance that is happening to you. Are we together? Encounters and then interventions. Now, most believers expect only interventions. They say God showed up, and you say, what's the proof? And they say, my healing, deliverance, breakthrough. I just got a supernatural opportunity. That's wonderful, but that is a lesser benefit of the glory. the greater benefit of the glory is that you are changed. Remember, the Bible says, as we behold him as in a mirror, we are. There is a dimension you rise to that you will not need certain interventions again, because you would have ascended in the spirit far above the realm that allows for those situations. One of the ways you truly get free is to grow. Are we together? When you grow, there are certain challenges. Imagine with me a flight. You know, there's noise. If you're moving on the road, there can be traffic. But the better way to deal with the traffic is to fly, because when you are 40,000 feet above sea level, you don't experience the concept of mountains are not applicable to you again. So you are not thinking, you don't need a bulldozer to carry any mountain. You are in an altitude. I mean, physically speaking, there are certain possibilities that are not your reality again. You can gain that ascendance in the spirit. Are we together now? Where before you call is a level of koinonia. You have risen. It's an ascendance in the spirit. You are changed. Where your words become like the word of God. You speak and it's as though God is one speaking. Many believers camp around the realm of interventions. So when the glory of God shows up, they are thinking healing. And there's nothing wrong with that. They are thinking breakthroughs. They are thinking a job. As soon as the glory comes, they want to present their case before the Lord. They interrupt the flow of something that can change them. God, remember the job now that you are here. And it's wonderful. It's wonderful. But the better and the greater approach is to focus on the transformation that happens within you. Is someone learning now? Praise the name of the Lord. Now, let me talk about the encounters that come with the glory. This is where the revelation is. When the glory of God shows up and you embrace the encounters, every encounter comes with eight spiritual resources. Eight spiritual resources that empower the believer to walk in dominion. The profit of the glory is most visible when you receive the riches that come with that encounter. My spirit is fired up already. Pray in the spirit for 1 minute. Pray in the spirit. Helando sigala proski ata brakadi baradaba. Pray in the spirit. Hallelujah. Now let me show you two scriptures. Please do not forget this scripture for the rest of your life. Ephesians chapter 3 from verse 15 and 16. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Ephesians chapter 3. Please give it to us. Thank you, Jesus. Of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named. Let's read verse 16. For as many who are able to see, that he would grant unto you. How does he grant unto you? According to the riches. Stop there. Not according to the glory. When the glory comes, the resources that come with that glory are called the riches of his glory. Philippians chapter 4 and verse 13. Paul makes a very profound statement. 19. Everyone, please, let's read together. Philippians 4, 19. One to go. Please stop. Who shall supply? My God. Not our God. My God shall supply how many of the needs? Now look at this very audacious statement. Do you know how many needs you have? Think for one moment. When you study scripture, be creative. Financial needs. Health needs. Don't sin. Ministry needs. And he says, my God. This is how God attends to your need. He supplies all your needs according to his. So when the glory comes, there are resources that come with that glory. And the Bible says, if you receive the glory and the resources, there is no need. No need that it cannot solve. This changed my life. This is how people become wealthy. This is how people become blessed. This is how people become great. They pay the price in worship and through all other platforms, and they invoke the glory. When the glory comes, it comes with interventions, but the greater business of the glory, the real value of the glory, is to receive the encounters. And that with every encounter, in addition to your consecration, your alignment, there are tokens. God brings tokens. How many of you know that if you go for an occasion, your assignment is to honor whoever is organizing it, but there's what we call a souvenir. A souvenir is an evidence that you came. It can, or sometimes it can be a heavy souvenir. It's a bag that you have to go home to unwrap. Has that happened to you? When you go to a serious place, so they just give you a big box. And then when you get the idea now, and so you open up the box, what do you see? Cups, see all kinds of things. Sometimes you even see money. When his presence comes, as that glory rests upon you, then he distributes tokens. And there are eight of them. I want to list it for you right now. Number one, the first token that comes with his glory upon encountering him is called wisdom. Wisdom. You don't buy it anywhere. Wisdom. Number two, understanding, the faculty of comprehension. Number three, guidance and direction. In the place of worship, God can reveal the next strategy for the next decade. He can show you things to come by the Holy Ghost. Is someone learning now? So when you find certain people always ahead of time, they are not superstitious. They have learned how to derive profit from the glory. Are you seeing that God's greater business, beyond healing, beyond deliverance, beyond a job, he wants to show you what the next 20 years will be? Is someone learning? Number four, the fourth token of the glory is skill. S-K-I-L-L. There is a dimension of skill and competence that is not a land ability. It's an impartation. Ah, come on now. Are there worshippers here? Do you believe this? It is true. You're my glory, the lifter up of my head. You're my glory, you're the lifter up of my head. Sing it two times. You're my glory, you're the lifter up of my head. You're my glory, you're the lifter up. Let me tell you this. It is not every dimension of skill that is a learned ability. There are things today I can do. I would be lying to you if I say I learned them. I just know that in his presence, certain abilities came. It is true. There are certain dimensions of interpreting scripture. I have read a lot of theological books, but there is a way the Holy Ghost quickens your mind. It's like he does something to your neural pathways, literally, biologically, and your faculty of comprehension, your ability to deliver, you get into a level of mastery by the Spirit. Do you believe this? Skill. Number five, favor. 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 That which attracts people, opportunities, resources to you. They are called the riches of his glory. So next time you ask, how will the project come to pass? By the riches of his glory. Nobody fails when you have these resources at work in you. Eight of them. How many have I given you? Five. Is that enough? Let me give you the sixth one. Utterance. Utterance. You know what utterance is? Utterance is not grammatic prowess. That's oratory. Utterance is the capacity to communicate spiritual realities in a way that all men will comprehend, regardless their level of intellectual advancement or deficiency. Utterance is what empowers you to sing songs. It's like you are prophesying. You see, it's a deeply prophetic faculty. Any man who is a man of the presence must know how to speak. It's a gift. The capacity to speak. When I say speak, I don't mean speak English. Declare the counsel of God in a way that carries a weight of intelligence. Do you believe this? Yeah. How do I explain this? Do you believe what you are hearing? Please listen to this. There is a dimension of utterance. You know a man that has stayed in the presence of God. With all due respect, even if uneducated, if you dwell, you cover, you stay, and the glory keeps resting, it will quicken you to a point that your heart will be indicting a good matter, that your tongue will be like the pen of a ready writer. When you speak, it's like you are writing ordinances upon the hearts of men. They can't fully describe what you are articulating, but their spirit, there is a transaction. They cannot deny the effect of light. You can hear a man speak and you know that this is the realm of intelligence, but there is no presence on it. The Lion of Judah, the Lamb upon the throne, we hail you. The Lion of Judah, the Lamb upon the throne, we hail you. Now, I'll tell you something using Minister Dunsin. How many of you have heard, I mean, even during the worship, I mean, the words that come, the chant, they just seem to connect. That one you see is beyond the realm of skill. That is utterance. To know how to speak a wisdom and a mouthpiece that your enemies cannot gainsay. It makes you speak words precise in due season, that it will minister grace to the hearers. Is someone learning now? These are the riches of his glory. Can I give you the remaining two? Number seven, strength. Strength. Hast thou not known, hast thou not heard, the everlasting God, the Lord? The Bible says he's not weary. There is no searching of his understanding. Then the Bible reveals a dilemma, a tragedy with all men. He said even the young men will faint, you know, the youth will be weary. He says, but they that wait upon the Lord, among the riches that the glory will bring is the renewal of strength. Strength here does not just talk of bodily vitality alone. There are sometimes you are weighed down by life. You have been beat left and right by the vicissitudes of life. At that point, when you stay, when the glory comes, it brings vitality. Vitality. Strength. It says, because these men have learned that mystery of that strength, they shall run. 10 years, you are still standing. 20 years, you are still standing. By a mystery, ordinarily, you should plateau by the law of physics. When you get to an altitude, you should go down. But the Bible says for the believer, it is more and more. More and more. Someone prophesy over yourself. More and more. No decline. More and more. Turn it into prophecy. No, you won't go up and down. Not in worship, not in business, not in ministry. I enter the realm of more and more. Sustained by the strength of heaven. Sustained by the strength of heaven. No epileptic results. You rise beyond that limitation. They that wait upon the Lord, they shall renew their strength. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Hallelujah. Let me give you the eighth of these spiritual resources. The spirit of faith. Now, there is the word of faith. There is the gift of faith. But there is the spirit of faith. There are certain dimensions of kingdom exploits that you will need to walk by the faith of the Son of God. There are times God will instruct you to do things only his faith can achieve. Now, this one is beyond your Bible study. You see, the enormity of that assignment demands an impartation of faith, capacity to trust God in a way that is unusual. You get that from the glory. There are times that you are worshiping God and just pressing in, and a level of confidence and audacity. It's as though you can stand up and take that mountain immediately. When you see people who do not know how to trap the glory, they are always scientific in their calculation. How shall these things be, seeing that I know not a man? You need the glory. There is a dimension of the riches of that glory that is deficient in your experience. Is someone learning? I look at my life today and sometimes from hindsight, I wonder how certain things were able to happen. Because it is when you see the result from hindsight, you will know you did not carry yourself. This one was the fate of the Son of God. I'll give you a quick example before we pray. The first time the Lord gave us an instruction to go to Manchester, you can imagine, to get the largest indoor sport theater and then to go there, host the program, bless people on a weekday. And I thought about it. I said, God, what is this? It is not against, at the time, we had not done any national conference. By the law of church growth and the way to do ministry properly, you see that now, you start from within before you go without. You see that now? Except you want to become an embarrassment to yourself and a lesson to others. You don't get up and go to a nation. You don't have a branch of your ministry, no branch pastor. You see that now? But every time you ask, how shall these things be? Know that among the eight elements that come with the glory is the spirit of faith. I'm saying that because as we step into the next level of worship, now you will worship with understanding. You know that as the glory comes, your heart will be open. You know that from this Shekinah, it's like a river that is flowing. Are we together now? From the throne of God, that river brings wisdom. It brings understanding. It brings favor. It brings direction. Are you seeing the reason why all of us can worship but live with different experiences? For one person, you are receiving wisdom, another utterance, another skill, but everybody should receive something. And for those who are like me, we receive all. There's no sparing any. I need the wisdom, I need the favor, I need the understanding. Do I have a witness now? I need utterance, I need skill. Now listen, please. Where do you get wisdom? Answer, from the glory. Where do you get the understanding to do exploits in business? From the glory. Let me tell you the truth. The wisdom you do not get from the glory, a textbook cannot give you. A textbook can only supplement. And you believe me when I say this. This is the reason why those who are in Christ have an advantage. When the Bible says all things work together, is because when the glory of God shows up, because everything worships Him, including your pain, including your frustration, the glory can do something about it. There is always a way out. You may have heard me say, it is because of this glory. This glory. Show me a man who does not have anything in life doing sin. If I'm to talk to that person as a believer, I would tell him, be a worshiper. Start from worship. Let worship bring the glory. Let the glory bring the riches. Then you transact with the riches. That's where your dominion is. Is someone learning? So as a businessman, how do you get the resources to run your business? You need skill. You need relationships. Relationships come through favor. Where do you get favor? From the glory. So whilst you are pressing, if believers knew this, you would never call any time invested in His presence a waste. You won't complain about the weight of the oil that is pouring from your alabaster box. The oil for you can be your time. You are breaking your time in His presence. And you're saying it's been 2 hours, 3 hours. And the spirit that is in the order of Judas is saying, why waste this much in His presence? You can use part of that time for business. But do you not know that except the Lord builds a house, they labor in vain that build it. Except the Lord watches over a city, the watchman watches but in vain. He said it is vain to wake up early and to sleep late at night, only to eat the bread of sorrow. Believers, let me introduce to you a formula deriving profit from the glory of God. The Bible says to walk circumspectly. You know what that means? The word circumspect means accurately, with minimal mistakes. And the only way to walk with minimal mistakes is to discern the will of God. You need to know what the will of God is. When you know the will of God, you will not spend 10 years doing something only to find out you were on your own. In the glory, direction comes. You'll get up with precision. We're about to pray, but I want you to listen. Breathe, Lord, Breathe, breathe, Lord, breathe, breathe upon my life. Breathe, Lord, breathe, Lord, breathe, breathe upon. I just want to sing this part one time. I receive, I manifest your power and your wisdom. Listen, till the nations see Jesus lifted up, exalted. I receive, I manifest your power and your wisdom until the nations see Jesus lifted up, glorified. Don't say, where do you get these marvelous songs from that has blessed the body of Christ, the glory? Most times, the most powerful songs that have been written were not intentionally written. We just pressed into the glory, and then words, lines. You can receive one line in January and the other line comes in September. Has that happened to you? Sometimes don't try to complete it in the flesh. You will know that it did not add up. This one came from God. This one came from brain work. The key is to press some more. Press some more. One day the other line will come. Alanto sigata patatata kratena kabarato sebedeke palakato sigetebata. Yes, sir. The riches of his glory. Hallelujah. Now, very quickly, let me show you the key. I have shown you the value, but my emphasis tonight is the protocol. Our last discussion here, we considered a few things. But I want to show you the protocol. Not every song brings a glory. Not every giving brings a glory. Not every step in the right direction brings a glory. There is a heart posture. Jeremiah chapter 17 and verse 10. Very profound scripture. Can we look at NKJV or any of the versions? It says, I, the Lord, I search the heart. I try the reins, even to give every man according to his ways and according to the fruit of his doings. I, the Lord, while you are singing, I search the hearts. While you are praying, I search the hearts. You know what that means? That means I can become a political Christian for lack of word. And I'm sorry to use that expression. Meaning, I'm just trying to patronize God for some benefit other than his presence, other than my love for him. Did you know my lust and my hunger can still lead me to worship in a way that seems accurate, but there's corruption in my heart? The Bible, speaking about Amaziah, the Bible says he did what was right in the sight of the Lord, but not with a perfect heart. The greatest determinant of the glory, the greatest secret I know about the glory, is a heart posture that is yielded, surrendered, consecrated, and aligned. This is a true order of worship. Your voice can be the best. The skill can be the best. The engineering can be the best. A heart of love, a heart of reverence, a heart of surrender, a heart of honor. Take joy, my King, in what you hear. Let it be a sweet, sweet sound. I love you, Lord, and I lift my hands to worship you. God of patterns, but his greatest desire in working with men is not the correctness of compliance, but the sincerity of heart. I have seen people who did not get it quite right in terms of the formula, and in a strange way, God acted like he did not see, because the purity of their heart bought them an experience that their compliance could not get. I have seen people, they didn't pray right based on the dynamics of prayer, you know, but as they laid down to pray, there was purity that rose from them. Let me tell you this. The Bible says, a broken and a contrite heart, oh God, thou shall not. That means God is vulnerable to brokenness. He is vulnerable to sincerity. Sometimes we spend time learning the mechanics and we do not focus on our hearts. Then when the fishing is right, the boat is right, the net is right, the skill is right, you will still not catch fish. Because it's about Simon Peter, lovest thou me, not do you know how to fish. Sometimes I'm a man of excellence, but we need to make sure that our heart is right before we focus on the mechanics. Oh, we are praying. It's the prayer to the Father in the name of Jesus. You are right. But the business of intimacy demands purity of heart. There are times that you relate with people you love so much. You see a lot of obvious mistakes and flaws in the mechanics. But because of the depth, the investedness of love. Is someone learning now? Yeah. I've seen people rise, I'm telling you. And based on what I know, as it controls success, I can see the gaps. But because they are lovers. Oh, that's a song right there. That's a song right there. I can't sing it, but I know it. That song right there. So that I give those in more room, because I just sense that we need to put this to work, to press in worship, so that we don't waste his presence. Please listen to this. I'm not here to downplay principles. I'm not here to downplay patterns. God is a God of pattern. But scripture is full of people who did not get the pattern exactly right, but there was a depth of hunger. Let me tell you something and then we'll pray. Look at me, everybody. If this is the path for your destiny, left, and you follow right, sincerely, honestly, in honor to Jesus, believing that he was the one who led you, he would take that door and put it here to ensure you do not miss it. This is the depth of his love. Most times, do you know why the Bible says perfect love cast out fear? When you get to the realm of love, you are not just obedience conscious. You are not just principle conscious. You are presence conscious. It's a love affair. It's a love affair. When we worship him because we love him, when we worship him because we love him, not just the mechanics. Okay, I need wisdom. So I sing two songs for 1 hour. The glory comes. I receive wisdom. I pray on his presence. And then you can go. You won't get it that way. He says, I the Lord. So whilst worship is going on, you see, there are distributions, but not everybody gets this thing. The Lord begins to vet the purity of the hearts of men. And God will find a sister somewhere so confused. There are times you may not know how to sing all the songs right. Sometimes the doctrinal composition of your song is honestly not even as right as she should be. But God looks at the sincere heart singing that song. That at the level of spiritual understanding, you are lifting that song, even though doctrinally frail. But he looks beyond what you are singing and looks at the purity of the one who is singing that song. And you would think such a song with doctrinal error should not bring the glory. In a strange way, the glory will come, because it's about the lover, the consecrated person. Is someone learning now? When you learn this, your priority will be to love him sincerely, to reverence him. The language of surrender is music to the ears of the king. The language of consecration, the language of genuine love. There is a prophetic move in the body of Christ where God is bringing people from the realm of users to lovers. Not just people who use God to fulfill their goals. It's just that he's the most spiritual alternative to becoming great. So we seem to be spiritual. Men who say, Lord, if you never bless me, my worship will not stop. If you never lift me, though he slay me, yet will I trust him. As for me and you, there are no conditions to my loving you. Not if you bless me, I will do this. Thank you for the blessings, but with or without it, my heart is stayed on you. If you get this, then my assignment is complete. This is the greatest protocol of the glory I know. It starts with your heart. The patterns are important, but it's your heart. That when the glory of God shows up, remember, encounters, interventions. It's your heart posture that even allows the glory to come. I have had good singing, but presence did not come. I've had skillful singing, but presence did not come. I have been to places through the years of ministry where the people could not even speak English. There were no instruments and they just sang. It was a night vigil, I remember, one time in Mina. My goodness, I'd never seen the presence of God show up in a way, no instruments, no nothing. These women were intercessors. I said, what is this? God responding. There's just one prayer I will lead you through. Father, let there be a circumcision within my heart. Turn me from a user to a lover. Turn me from a transactional Christian, a transactional worshiper, a worshiper who is just using worship as a vehicle to get things. God is a giver, but you must be presence conscious. Giving is the latter part of that transaction. Please lift your voice, everyone. And for those who are watching across the globe from all the nations of the earth, would you allow this to be a moment of deep surrender, deep reverence, deep brokenness? You may be a preacher, you may be a worshiper who is wondering why you go for ministrations and you cannot be able to trap that presence. I show you the key. The mechanics are right, but you need to assume a heart posture that allows the glory to be revealed in your midst, through your words, through your worship. But when the glory comes, you sang it perfectly, that when the glory comes, there'll be no words to say. Oh, oh, oh. One more time, let it be from the depth of your heart. Hey, when the glory comes, tell me no words to say. Oh, when the glory comes, tell me no words to say. When the glory comes, it comes together with the resources of that glory. Father, I stretch my hands in faith with Minister Dunsi. And we pray for those who are in this beautiful studio and the many who are across the globe, from Asia to Europe to North America,
South America, South Africa, Zimbabwe, Ghana, Zambia, Abuja, Lagos, and all over the earth. I pray in the name of Jesus that there will be an emergence of men and women who understand the glory, surrendered, consecrated, yielded, men who love God beyond things, men who love His presence, beyond the blessings that come with the presence. I pray particularly for worshipers. I sense in my heart that God is going to be bringing new songs to the body. A prophetic order, new songs. Many will write songs, songs that become prophetic ladders, songs that will bring believers into phenomenal experiences. We release that grace from here in the name of Jesus, the Son of the Living God. And I pray from the depth of my heart that the blessings that come from encounters, let it be evident in our lives. The blessings of wisdom, of understanding, of strength, of skill, of utterance, of direction, the spirit of faith. These and more, let it be our experience from now. In the name of Jesus Christ, I speak the blessing over someone who is weary. I speak the blessing over someone who is sick. I speak the blessing over someone who is discouraged. I speak the blessing over someone who is downcast. I speak the blessing over someone who has the mechanics but no presence. That from today, in the name of Jesus, you will begin to experience the glory of God. The fullness, the richness, the weight of God's glory. Let it rest upon you. Wave your hands and give Jesus praise. Thank you, Jesus. Give Jesus praise.
You place your right hand on your chest. I just sense this very strong urge of the Spirit for us to take this hymn, a hymn of consecration. Take my life and let it be. Take